participating in the service, hearing scripture read in multiple languages, and hearing the kids sing songs of worship. Thank you to the kids, Sue, for harnessing and corralling all that energy and the time required. Yeah. And of course, to the other volunteers who gave up their time and their energy as well. Thank you for that. We're not going to be spending the usual amount of time going into the Word here this morning, but it's important that we do spend a little bit of time, especially in light of what we just heard. So for the next couple of minutes, I want us to continue to explore and rejoice in this theme and the significance of Christ's coming. And to do so, I want you to turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to sit, to stand, to be in your presence and be amazed of just who you are. And when we think of the message that we've heard, message that we often think about this time of year, Lord, we ought to be. We thank you for Jesus, strong and kind. We thank you that we could hear kids saying we can always turn to Jesus. May that song, that message be true to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, Christmas time is a wonderful time of year. It's celebrated all across the world by many people, many who believe and maybe many who don't believe in its significance. And in each family, each culture, each country is going to have their different traditions of how they celebrate and approach this time of year. I happen to like how we do it here in Canada. I find it very, maybe, liberating or a nice reprieve from the cold weather and the long days. It's just this bright spot as winter comes along. And earlier this week, my family and I got to celebrate one of those traditions as we drove through Burlington to look at all the wonderful Christmas lights and decorations on display. And we passed by many houses that didn't have any. We slowed down for the houses that had some, and for the houses that had thousands of lights, we stopped. And we just marveled at that. I don't know how much time it took for them to string up all those lights. I don't know the effort or the work that was required, or the cost for that matter, but we enjoyed it. We just sat there looking at each one of them and saying, oh, that's beautiful, that's beautiful. Yet had we gone in the daytime, we wouldn't have stopped. They wouldn't have been so beautiful. They wouldn't have been so bright or effective. In fact, we wouldn't even say that they were necessary. Why have lights during the daytime? This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Though we sometimes forget because of all the presents and all the holiday cheer and all the physical lights and music, we celebrate that the light has come into this dark world. And this world is a dark place. I don't think many of us need to be convinced of that. There seems like there's a new war, a new disease, a new illness every day. Hatred, confusion all over the world, and every person in their own darkness, interested in only doing what is right before their own eyes, though they and we see nothing. And into this dark place shines a light. Promised long ago, as we alluded to in today's opening scripture and Ken preached on last week, Isaiah 9:12 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined." And how appropriate that the fulfillment of that promise, that a light would come into this world, as we've heard from these young children here this morning, how appropriate that we hear it every Christmas, the darkest season of the year, the good news of Christ's coming. That was announced by a company of brilliant angels, and that the wise men had to follow a star shining in the night to see the greater light, Jesus. And we read in Jesus' ministry, the affirmation of who he is and why he came, as it says in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's only two options. You walk in darkness, or you walk in the light. And the promise is, if you will follow me, then you will walk in the light. And so every one of us, amidst this trouble, the darkness of our world, and our own minds, can walk in the light. But do we get that? Do we celebrate that? Do we rejoice in that wonderful truth that the whole world is covered in darkness, from the sunniest of places to the kindest of nations? All of them are in spiritual darkness, all unable to fabricate any kind of light to guide their path, all of them unable to do their own good. And into this story, his story really, comes Jesus, who says, I'm going to light it all up. I'm going to brighten everybody's life because they will be turning and fixing their gaze on me. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to pay the price. And we, you all, will not only enjoy the beauty of it, but have it. That's what he says, right? He says, you will have the light of life. Not you will see it or follow after it. You will have it. Whoever follows Jesus, trusts, obeys, and believes in him will not only walk in the light, and who doesn't want to walk in the light, but more than that, they will have him. Freedom from sins, ours. Relationship with the Savior, ours. Eternity with the one who made us, ours. So whatever has been potentially souring your mood this season or this week, whatever may be darkening your thoughts, whatever tragedy, and there are many in this world that you are facing that's bringing you down, bring them all before this glorious truth. The light of the world has come. He reigns. He is ours, and we are his. And may the Spirit fill us with this joy of this truth now and forever. And as we celebrate these things, we have been, the last number of weeks, lighting our candles, each representing something different regarding the Christmas story, regarding Christ's coming. And we didn't do it this morning because we had children up on the stage and we wanted to be safe. But allow us to participate in that now as we sing this last song. So this morning marks the third day of Advent. And while each of the candle represents something different, hope, second candle, peace, the third candle represents joy. As we continue to approach Christmas Day, our joy grows more and more. Scripture says in Luke 2, verses 10 to 12, that the angel said to them, this is the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ and the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying on a manger. And so let us not only light these candles, this last one which signifies joy, but let's stand and sing together of this joy that has come to the world.